Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here it is, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rop and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. We've got the news coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Today we discuss weed. It's a big hot topic.
Is it?
Yeah. Right. The difference between Cajun and Creole is coming up.
Cajun and Creole weed? Is that what we're talking about?
No.
Oh.
Trevor Lawrence versus Joe Burrow.
That wasn't much of a contest.
In a cage match.
One was perfect and the other one,
Whoa. Could that be a new drop? Can we add that to the compilation? Eerily similar, yet different. Well, anyway, a lot of things still to come. Ed Orgeron and what happened with him at USC. A USC booster, I guess, is talking about what went on with Ed Orgeron and just how bad it's gotten at USC. So we'll get to all that. But Dave Bartu is on the line now. He's learned. Remember last time I yelled at him? I was like, come on, just call us when you want to talk about some of this stuff instead of texting our phones. And he has learned his lesson. Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. This time he just called in. It's like, hey, I want to talk some Wazoo hire.
Some coaching changes. So there's a lot going on in the Pac-12. And a lot, I think there might be a little bit more to come, too, since, well, I'm trying to get Mississippi State to steal at least one guy out of the Pac-12.
Oh,
jerk.
Look at Dave like putting in recommendations.
So Dave is now the puppet master of all coaching hires nationwide.
Especially at Mississippi State.
Because he got Leach to Mississippi State.
Trying to be. Right? Trying to be. No, it's fun being behind the curtain. And there are, oh, man, like the one of the best ones so far is, the media was really getting hot and heavy on one athletic director we were working for, and it was driving them a bit nuts. Because they were following the plane and this, that, and the other. So they got together. This is kind of rich booster stuff. But they had four planes and the school plane all leave at the same time going different directions. Nobody knew which one he was on. So there's speculation he's all over the country. But, I mean, that's what it kind of comes down to try to hide, some of these coaching searches, because the media is all over trying to figure out what's going to happen. And athletic directors don't like the speculation because let's say you go after somebody like, in Florida, when Scott went up to visit Chip Kelly up in Vermont, when Florida was after him, I mean, they traced the plane, they got pictures of him there, and all the Florida fans like, woo, we're going to get Chip Kelly. It's doesn't always work that simply, and it gets people way too hyped up. So they'll go to all sorts of smoke screens and leak things that are entirely disinformation to throw people off these things.
Yeah, I don't really get. I mean, you just explained why they do that. I don't know that they have to do that. I think that's kind of funny how the links they go to, but I suppose I understand some of it. But do you like Nick Rolovich being hired at Washington State?
Number one on our board for Washington State. Ooh. No question. Yeah, no, this is absolute no-brainer in terms of risk-reward, what he's been able to do, the scheme that was there before, the players that are there. Will it work out? That's why I call it risk-reward. It's all risky, but when you look at Rolovich, he was an A-minus grade offensive coordinator at Nevada. Hawaii brought him in, and a lot of people don't understand this about Hawaii. Hawaii was about one level away from UAB shutting the whole thing down. And he's done great things to turn that place around. I think they went 10-3 this year. top 20 again, second consecutive year in scoring efficiency. If you actually look at Washington State and Hawaii's scoring efficiency the last 2 years, it's almost the same thing. Obviously, different conference, different players, and so forth. But in terms of trying to find something that best fits what you were doing with a bar of higher expectations or promise, this would be that guy. The problem with Rolovich is he hasn't been able to find a defensive coordinator yet. The defense has always been bad while he's been there, so it's simply outscoring the other guys. So the big thing for Washington State, if you're a Washington State fan, figure out, watch who he is hiring as a defensive coordinator. If I got a call from him today, it'd be the defensive coordinator at Wyoming. No question. That guy has done great job there with a high play volume, facing about 75 to 80 plays a game, which is what Rolovich's offense generates against the defense. So that would be my number one guy there. So we'll see if they do a good job or they pull a Washington and hire a what? Like they did for their offensive coordinator.
His name is Scotty Hazleton. That's who you're talking about, the defensive coordinator at Wyoming.
Now, Hazleton is at K-State, I think.
Oh, did he move on?
Or is Hazleton at Wyoming? No, Hazleton's at Wyoming. Sorry.
Internet says he's at Wyoming.
Yeah, Hazleton. And so, yeah, that would be for Washington State. To me, that would be absolutely close to best case scenario there is pulling the defensive coordinator from Wyoming. He's faced a lot of plays, a lot of different offenses. And so to me, that would, and it'd also be good value. It wouldn't be hard to pull somebody away from Wyoming with Pac-12 money, or at least it shouldn't be.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like in all honesty here that Mississippi State and Washington State, according to you, they both got it right, right? They both hired the best option for them.
In our opinion, yeah. In terms of the, like I said, the risk reward, yeah, they're absolutely the best available. And a lot of people didn't even realize how available Mike Leach was. I think a lot of it just had to be time and scenario and talent. I think that's really the big thing that I got from Mike is, at least one of them, is that the excitement of top 25 talent. Now, Mississippi State's in a division where everybody's top 25 talent, but he's been at Washington State, he's been at Texas Tech, all these classes, high 30s, low 40s, high 40s. He's never consistently been at a place with a really good athlete. We know Mississippi State isn't elite, but Mississippi State, from a recruiting standpoint, Pac-12-wise, right in, I'd call him in between Washington, right near, closer to Washington than Utah. So Mike is really, I believe, he's really excited about the level of athlete he's getting at Mississippi State.
Now, you mentioned, you know, Hawaii being at UAB. Compare just the challenges, you know, Washington State versus Hawaii. Because you hear that Washington State is such a tough job, but I can't imagine it's anywhere near the challenge of winning at Hawaii.
Well, I mean, it's money. I mean, that's always the first thing. You know, you got SEC money, you got Big Ten money, then you have ACC, Big 12, Pac-12 money, and, you know, you look out there and, you know, you got Mountain West money. There's not a lot there. It's really a stepping stone job, and from a recruiting standpoint, you know, your best case scenario in terms of recruiting classes, maybe you'll pop something in the 70s, the 80s, typically between 80 and 90 out there. So you're not getting any sort of upper level, even medium level talent at all. It's really about coaching. That's why I like it when programs go and pull from the G5 ranks, because to me in that group of five, it's more about coaching. It's more coaching centric. You can win with better coaching and lesser talent, unlike the Power Five, where it really is more recruiting and less coaching. So the fact that Washington State went out and got a guy that has for the last 5 years been a top 20% offensive coordinator play caller in college football, and on top of that took his program from out of the bowl sub 500 to competing for a conference title with lesser talent, it's right now there's not a better risk, in my opinion, than Nick Rolovich.
This is Dave Bartu, our friend from the College Football Matrix. We are getting reports from non-internet that has now been confirmed by internet that Scotty Hazleton is the defensive coordinator at Kansas State. So we were wrong about that. He was at Hawaii from, he was at Hawaii, I mean, not Hawaii, he was at Wyoming 2017-2018, and he was hired at Kansas State January 22nd, 2019, according to internet. So
I was right when you thought you were right, but right. I was wrong. You convinced me I was right.
Yeah.
That's what we do. Right. That's what we do here. Right. Hey, Jim J. Bullock's dead?
Yeah, Jim J. Bullock is dead. Okay, so offensive coordinator hires in the Pac-12 North. Musgrave. And then who's this guy? Musgrave, by the way, hired by Cal. What do you think of that? And then who's this guy Washington hired as their OC?
Well, with Cal, I mean, we really don't have a grade on Musgrave, right? Because he hasn't coached at the college ranks. But, I mean, this guy was, for Duck fans that aren't old enough, I mean, this is really one of the original great Duck quarterbacks that really started that process of turning towards where they are today. He's had an excellent track record in the NFL. He's a pro-style type of offense, which really fits what they're doing at Cal in terms of their pace and tempo that they have on offense that Wilcox has been trying to run. I think it'll be a really good match with Drutter, if he's still there in a week. And so I really like the upgrade. Bo Baldwin, for whatever reason, I think if we were all sitting down 3 years ago having beers, we'd have been like, Baldwin, that's a kick-ass hire,
yeah.
Right? I mean, we all expected that the offense would have taken off instantly at Cal and the defense would have struggled to catch up. And, in fact, it's the other way around. The defense has been rock star, and the offense never got there. Not year one, not year two, not year three. So, to me, it's a huge upgrade, even without Musgrave's track record, having no track record in college football. And I do like the fit in terms of the pace and tempo that he's going to be running there.
But I saw that you gave the Washington hire like a C-, which is surprising because you would think a school like Washington could land, I don't know, a more attractive name.
What's the guy's name? Well, Donovan?
Yeah, John Donovan. Now, that's his career grade in college football. The actual hire itself should be graded much worse, in my opinion. You're Washington. You don't go hire NFL interns that aren't even calling plays. I mean, they took him from Jacksonville. He's not even the play caller at Jacksonville. Yeah. He's some dude watching some dude calling plays. And he had a subpar career as a play caller. This is a huge step back for Washington. I hate this hire. Yeah, he has a C-minus grade for his career. As a grade in terms of hiring, I don't think you can go any higher than a D on this. Washington has too big of a brand. They have too good a talent to be going after a bottom half offensive coordinator. It's really disappointing if you're a Washington fan.
Yeah, it was just, you would think a program like that that doesn't have a problem paying assistants, you know, it's a big budget there. You've been one of the premier programs. It's a national brand. I, too, was just kind of scratching my head at that one. You know, they got a lot of criticism with Chris Peterson there for, you know, just kind of sticking with the, kind of promoting from within. But then Jimmy Lake has a chance to kind of wipe the slate clean and go outside the box, and you make a hire that everyone universally shrugs their shoulders at. I just don't get it.
No, it's like he overthought it, you know, trying to be outside the box so much that it became analysis paralysis. And it's like, oh, and boom. And here you are with an elite defensive coordinator and a subpar offensive coordinator, and I think you're going to see it hurt them going forward.
So you mentioned Tim DeRuiter. He's the defensive coordinator at Cal, and you said depending on how long he's there, do you think that perhaps USC is looking to steal him?
I think a lot of programs should be looking to steal him. He's done a great job. He only made $509,000 last year. He's in a contract year. He's a free agent right now. He's not even under contract. So I know with our clients, I've been pushing a lot of people at Tim DeRuiter. He is excellent in pass defense. His career, he's an A-minus defensive coordinator. Obviously not successful as a head coach at Fresno State, but from a defensive coordinator standpoint, in a conference that throws more than it runs, this is somebody needs to grab this guy, or Cal needs to back the truck up and pay him a lot more money.
What are the Ducks doing at OC?
I don't know. I remember I came on a month ago and said this is going to be over in 1 minute or it's going to take a really long time.
Because you said at that time you wanted Chip Long fired by Notre Dame.
Right, and it turns out that he is a five-star douche magoo. Nobody wants him.
Clip that. By the way, hold on. We got the new Souk drop.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You sound like a cow.
Yeah, I was going to say a wounded cow.
Bleh. 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 Nice. Sounds like the raccoon I caught for you this morning, Sue.
Yeah, could you go ahead and drop that off? Because I would like to have him. Dave trapped a raccoon, and he looks adorable.
Oh.
Don't hurt him, Dave.
All right, where were we? Oregon.
So we were with Oregon. So Chip Long, everybody interviewed him. Penn State interviewed him. Arkansas interviewed him. I almost guarantee you Oregon interviewed him. And I was like, what? I mean, this is a guy. This is Notre Dame's number one recruiter and an A-grade offensive coordinator at Notre Dame in Memphis. And it's like, yeah, he is just a gigantic ass, and nobody can get along with him. So I'm like, okay. So Chip Long is out. But I did expect Oregon to be done with this already. And then now it's, you know, Joe Moorhead was being interviewed, B-plus for his career. Didn't do so well with Mississippi State last year, but I helped Penn State get him out of Fordham to Penn State. He was one of the big targets there and had a good first year at Mississippi State. And I think he would fit pace-wise with what Mario is trying to do. Hall at Tulane, we've heard that name quite a bit. He's done well in 2 years at Tulane. He has a B grade. I think that would be a good fit. I think Moorhead would be a little bit better because he runs a slower pace offense, which is, I believe, that's something that Mario wants to go towards, not against. And then there was some fish guy who's watching McVay call plays at the Rams.
Jed Fish.
You know, they said, oh, they were looking at Tommy Reese at Notre Dame. I'm like, oh, geez, he's never called a play, which Notre Dame just promoted him to offensive coordinator, but good luck trying to catch lightning in a bottle again. You know, they did it with Clark Lee, but how many times can you go back to the next man up before you lose? I mean, we've seen it right here in our backyard in Oregon. You just can't do that every time. And I think the Ducks are past next man up, and I believe Notre Dame was too. So, It just seems like it's taking a while, and we have one guy on the West Coast. If Oregon wanted to take a risk on a guy that has been a fantastic play caller, not in the Power 5 system, I have been hitting Mario on Twitter and on email and anybody in the Ducks, wherever I can. If they're dragging this out, if they want a guy with a great track record but high risk or higher risk because he hasn't been in the Power 5, dude, Mario, call me right now. We have a guy for you to talk to.
Well, wait a minute. Who is it? Yeah. You can't do that.
No, yes, I can.
No, you yes, really I can't. Can. No.
No, because I have other clients looking at this guy, too. Yeah, so no, too bad.
You know who's Chip Long, you.
Dave's telling you to pound sand.
Yeah. If you want to know, get Mario conference called on right now. And because I want to give this to him. I'm a Duck alum. I've been trying to do stuff for them for nothing forever, just for a reference. I charge everybody else, but shoot, just give me one chance to prove ourselves for Oregon and build some trust there. But now there is one guy out there that we have circled that somebody's going to maybe get a winner in that one.
You're a real jerk.
I love you too.
Thank you, David. David?
I'm here. I gotta go rebait the trap. Gotta get another raccoon. He is a 5-star douche magoo.
That's a new drop.
Douche magoo.
Yeah. Go get you another raccoon.
That's a good name for the raccoon, by the way, is Mr. Douche Magoo.
Douche Magoo? Sandwich, douche magoo, and George. All right.
Thank you, Dave. That's Dave Bartu of the Matrix.
He is a 5-star. Douche magoo.
I'm very jealous Dave has raccoons on his property. I want raccoons.
All right. Ugh, God.
That's a lot to digest there.
So many things.
Including you calling Dave a douche magoo.
No, I didn't. I called him an ass.
You called him an ass.
Yeah. Come on. What's the damage in just throwing the name out there?
He's got people to answer to.
We got
to
Duck
now.
Fans listening. They want to know.
I know. I kept waiting for the name, and then Dave, it was like one of those gambler guys. Yeah. He's like, I've got the 50. Call
52 star lock, 1-900-888. All right. Well, you can't win them all. Coming up next, Ducks get not one, not two, not three, but four guys back on defense. 421 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Bleh.
Blah, blah,
blah. Bleh. Bleh.
Who knew you liked to make so many sounds, you know?
Yeah,
did you know you made that many sounds?
I guess I didn't, but sometimes it's just better. It's easier to convey an emotion with just a bleh.
Blah, blah, blah.
How did I feel after losing several thousand dollars on Clemson last night?
Bleh.
Better than saying I was disappointed. That's how I felt.
Sweet. All right. So, oh, I know what I was going to tell you.
What?
I have good news.
Okay.
Well, you're not a Duck fan, but.
No.
You're kind of a homer.
Am I?
Yeah. You're a homer now.
I feel like I'm pretty indifferent.
No, you're a homer.
I just try to give you a objective point of view.
So the Ducks are getting four juniors back for their senior seasons.
Yeah, I know. I thought this was kind of adorable the other day when this came out.
Kind of adorable?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, all right.
I got
to be careful here, right?
So Jordan Scott, D'Amador Lenore.
Yeah, Graham.
Graham, Foligno.
Yeah, they're all coming back.
They're all coming back. Sweet.
Okay. So I saw this, and people were like, oh, my God!
Were they?
None of them. Yeah, it was a big deal on Monday. That was like people were making it out like this was some sort of giant coup. None of them were first or second team all Pac-12.
Were any of them?
No.
All right.
You were about to say, were any of them high round picks?
Not high round, but were any of them? Did any of them have really tough decisions to make?
No. And that's kind of why I was a little.
Jordan Scott doesn't?
No. That's why I was kind of scratching my head a little bit. Like,
I like him.
They're all good players. Every one of them. They're all quality players. But this idea that, they were all like being coveted by the NFL. And I know at least it was Graham and Scott.
They turned down the NFL to return to Oregon.
Yeah, it's like they I saw that both of them put in for their evaluation and the recommendation was come back. I mean, I sure everyone can put in for an evaluation, but you're not talking about first and second round picks here. I mean, there's a chance if all of them go on and have nice seasons, you can end up being a solid draft pick, but you're not talking about. You know, these must have like first round or even borderline first or second round talents coming back. So
they're nice players, though.
Absolutely. And the defense is going to be really, really good next year. And it's great that all four of them are coming back. I just was a little puzzled that there was this notion.
Everybody thought they were going somewhere.
Yeah. No, they weren't going anywhere. They were all coming back because they all need to come back. There really wasn't much of a decision there for any of them to make.
In the NFL, you have like that advisory board, right?
Yeah.
They can all submit to paperwork to the advisory board, and then the advisory board comes back and says, okay, here's what they're saying about you.
Yes.
So you can kind of make a more informed decision, I guess. I'd be interested to know what those guys got back. Because I know Scott, I'm sure they all put in the paperwork.
Sure.
But and I know Scott did. But
yes, Scott did, and Graham did, I know for certain, and they both said, or at least I saw an article saying that the recommendation was come back to school.
All right.
And Value only started eight games. I mean,
All right.
I don't know.
Hater?
It's not a hater. Again.
Yes, it is. You're a Beaver homer.
It's an object. Like Troy Dye last year.
Troy Dye.
Like, that was a
my dude.
That was a decision to come back. I don't think Troy Dye was a first round pick, but Troy Dye had.
Where's he going to get drafted?
I think Troy Dye will go fairly high. Again, I don't think he's a first round pick. I think he's a bit undersized, but in today's NFL, hybrid guys that can run and cover.
Yes.
I think Troy Dye is going to be a fairly high pick. Like Justin Herbert, right? That was a decision. Like Justin Herbert coming back was like, holy crap, he decided to come back. This, not so much. We're not talking about DeForest Buckner and Armstead and, guys like this.
Now, I realize that we goof off enough here that sometimes you hear the breaking news sounder and you don't know if it's real.
Yeah.
Could you turn that down, please?
It's very loud.
God. This is real. Let's go to Sports Mike.
The Red Sox have officially fired Alex Cora today.
Well, we knew that was coming.
We have yet to hear the punishment for him from the MLB, but the Red Sox in their statement said they met with the MLB about the investigation and subsequently decided to fire him.
Okay, Alex Cora, of course, bench coach with the Astros, cheated, signed steal, goes to the Red Sox, cheats, signed steal.
Yeah. So, I mean, we haven't even had a chance to discuss this, but I mean, this is the biggest story in baseball since the steroid thing. I mean, you've got two World Series champions here that, I mean, that's the core integrity of the game. I mean, that is a huge
Yeah.
Huge deal.
We are going to talk about that, I promise you.
Yeah.
At some point here, maybe today, if not tomorrow. But I don't know. Is that a big deal? I mean, it's a big deal. The whole story is a big deal. What I was getting at was, is it a big deal that the Red Sox need a new manager? Probably not. Just like the Astros. Like, AJ Hinch was good, but they'll find somebody else. It's just sort of what they did, and the scale of that is pretty alarming.
Yes, it is. And you know, they handed down as harsh a punishment as you can, although...
I bet you Alex Cora gets more than Hinch. Hinch got a year.
Well, Hinch got a year. Does it matter? I mean, can anyone hire? I mean, they were saying that Hinch is probably done and that he's not going to be back in baseball. And I would assume the same thing for Cora, right?
Well,
I imagine Cora will get more because he did it for the
twice.
Astros,
yeah.
And now the Red Sox.
I feel like Cora will get more, but and they may even lifetime ban Cora's ass.
It's
possible.
I mean,
they did with Pete Rose.
Well,
I just feel like
Pete has been on the record and rightfully so. Pete being like, well, how the hell do I get a lifetime ban? And
he's not wrong.
Yeah.
He's not wrong. I just feel like there's a chance. We've seen this too many times in sports. There's a chance where Hinch and Lunau, I don't know what's in the report. I haven't read the 9-page report.
Yeah.
So I don't know what all Hinch was accused of and like how culpable he is. Obviously enough to be suspended for a year.
Yeah.
But we've seen this so many times where these guys, they'll go away for a year. They'll come back with a PR with a you know, just a little bit of spin of like, well, it wasn't really me and, you know, this and that, and say all the right things, and then they'll get another job.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Sure.
So I don't know that these guys are going to be blackballed. I mean, Lunau built a championship team. You're telling me somebody won't look the other way on him, you know, 2-3 years down the road?
Yeah.
He's not that old.
No. It's just there's a real... I would assume that there's going to be a real stigma around this for a long, long time. Or maybe not. Maybe we're just tired of the outrage. I just, as pissed as we were about Pete Rose, as pissed as we were about the steroid thing, I would like to believe that this is just as bad, if not worse, than any of those.
Would like to point out Dave Bliss got another job.
Yeah.
Okay, can I point that out?
Damn it.
There are reports out there that the MLB owners and teams are furious at Manfred for
not
giving a harsh enough penalty to the Astros.
Although I would like, and they're saying that they wanted this handed down to players as well, although it's important.
And that Manfred told him it would be harsher than it actually was.
Yeah. Although it's important to note that Carlos Beltran, the Mets manager, he had nothing to do with this, even though he lied about it.
Well, he did have something to do with it, but he was a player at the time, and none of the players are getting punished, so he's fine.
And only after that did he come clean. So he lied about it, and then he found out that the players were going to be above board on this, and then he came clean.
So why no players? They were doing it.
Yeah, they were doing it. I guess they're just doing the...
Manfred doesn't want to go up against the MLBPA with this. Because it's going to take,
Manfred,
it could take up to years to deal with it if you're going against the MLBPA, is what I heard Jeff Passan say yesterday.
God. All right. Well, Cora's out. Red Sox need a manager.
Yeah.
What will they ever do? What if they hire AJ Hinch?
Well, he's suspended for a year.
I know, but
just a
store him in
waiting.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll get back into that story a little bit later. Let's move on to In the News. We talk weed next, but first, Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the Hot 5-5 is coming up. Wrap up the college football season. Get back into the NFL playoffs. Astros, Red Sox cheating. There's a lot going on.
If you're the Dodgers, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. And Major League Baseball told you to not say anything, but man, that has to sting a little bit.
Both of them cheated.
Yeah, although supposedly they claimed that they didn't cheat in the World Series. They just cheated to get to the World Series.
Oh, whatever.
So, attendance to cheat during the World Series.
What if it comes out that the Dodgers cheated worse than all of them?
Wouldn't that be something? We did that one year with the Tour de France. Remember when Lance got busted? One of the years it was funny because they're like, well, you got to strip Lance, but then you would have had to go back. I want to say it was the 6th or 7th finisher that you would have had to go back to in order to come up with a winner that was clean, because 1 through 5 or 1 through 6 had all been busted for doping.
Remember when we had Floyd Landis on? Because he wrote a book?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And he professed his innocence and didn't.
Well, Lance like sued people and raged like a decade long war against anyone that insinuated his name was dirty. And then he went on Oprah and was like, you got me.
I guess he's Lance has changed his tune to the point of like he's like a really good dude now.
Is he?
If you can, I mean,
I don't believe that.
I was gonna say, if you can believe that.
Although he raised, you know, that's one of those you can really make the case, right? Everyone in the sport was doing it. Literally everyone. He did it better than everyone else.
If he would have just owned it, like right out of the gate, no one would have cared that much.
I mean, he was a, if everyone was doing it and he was that much better than everyone else, you can make the argument that it was a level playing field. And look, I've heard people that are like, I understand what he did and it was dishonest, but that dude raised millions of dollars and brought a lot of people hope and joy and made a sport relevant. The only problem that I have is that he ruined lives. Like, he went after people's reputation and sued people and destroyed people that questioned him when he knew that it was a gall darn lie.
All right, it is January 14th, 2020. It's time for In the News.
What's happening?
I hit the wrong button. I apologize.
Misfire.
See, Mike owns it. Why can't Lance?
Well, he kind of did, right?
No.
After the fact?
10 years later.
Yeah.
I am your noted newsman. Today is National Hot Pastrami Sandwich Day.
You know, the salted meats, you know, but...
I'm with you.
Don't you dare talk bad about pastrami.
He was not talking bad. I think he was just saying, you know, okay, they're all right.
Yeah.
Pastrami is God.
Yeah, I'm not... I'm not trying to poo all over pastrami.
You like a good Reuben?
I love a good Reuben.
Do you love a good Reuben?
No.
I don't either. I think I like it.
Yeah.
I don't love
it. But I don't love it.
And leave the sauerkraut. You can shove it up your ass.
Wow.
That would be really uncomfortable, I think.
That's coming in hot. I prefer more of a, like, as far as my sandwiches go, it's not in my top five. It might not even be in my top 10.
The Reuben or just the hot pastrami?
If you're going to give me any sort of sandwich meat, number one is pastrami for me.
Really?
Whoa.
Yes.
I've got turkey, I've got ham, I've got bacon.
You're naming all things that are below pastrami.
I've got roast beef.
Well, turkey and ham wouldn't be my first
two. Yeah, I also don't like roast beef. So.
I don't like roast beef either.
Really?
Yeah, but maybe like a nice pulled pork or, you know.
Yeah. Where does the Monte Cristo come? Because that.
Oh,
now,
man.
Now we're talking.
I haven't had a Monte Cristo in a long time.
So good. I had one like a
classic
week ago.
Classic diner food right
Who
there.
Who makes a Monte Cristo?
It came with some jam. Oh, it was.
Ooh, some jam. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
It is also.
I don't remember the name of the place, though.
It is also Feast of the Ass.
What?
God.
Yeah.
That time of the year, huh?
Yep. I'm very uncomfortable with sauerkraut and now this.
Feast of the Ass, a medieval Christian feast observed on January 14th, celebrating the flight into Egypt.
Oh.
It was celebrated primarily in France as a byproduct of the Feast of Fools, celebrating the donkey-related stories in the Bible. Yeah. In particular, the donkey bearing the Holy Family into Egypt after Jesus' birth. So it's the Feast of the Ass Day.
Okay, well, Feast of
the
Ass.
That can mean a lot of different things.
Go home and enjoy.
So how does weed affect your driving? You ever wonder that?
I don't think it's good.
When you smoke all that ganja that you smoke?
I can't imagine that helps your reflexes.
Well, they did a study of heavy users of recreational marijuana who began using before the age of 16. And what they found was alarming. Running red lights, driving at high speeds, crossing center lines in the opposite lanes, getting into accidents, even hitting pedestrians. But a new study also found that they drove this badly even when they were no longer high.
Oh. So you're just bad drivers?
The study published Tuesday in the journal Drug and Alcohol Dependence asked chronic heavy marijuana users to drive in a customized driving simulator. Heavy use was defined by daily or nearly daily use, a minimum of 4 or 5 times a week with a lifetime exposure of 1,500 times.
Huh.
So you got to use a lot.
Yeah.
At the time of driving experience, the marijuana group had not used for at least 12 hours and based on urine tests were not intoxicated on THC. Despite having no THC in their system, heavy users consistently performed worse on driving tasks than non-users, making critical dangerous mistakes. Now, this would explain Subaru driver, would it not?
Well.
Am I wrong?
No, that's interesting, though.
That is interesting.
I hadn't. Honestly, I never really gave much thought to that, but is there a test? Like, if I get pulled over for driving high,
I don't think there is.
Is it just like a sobriety test?
Well.
What if I've got the giggles and some Funyuns or something? Like, you're like, ah, I gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know how they. I don't think there is a way for them to to fully test you for that.
Because I think it's a blood test.
But the cops could weigh it. You could 55305 if you're a copper.
Yeah,
or you know.
Is it just one of those where, like, I'm driving like an idiot and then, like, my eyes are glassy and you're like, well, you're impaired?
Right. Like,
well, I mean, the same thing, like, if I'm high on crack. Like, like I'm sure.
They pull out the crack test?
I don't know. Like, what is that? Is there a breathalyzer for crack or weed? I don't know how any of that works.
The worst drivers, those who began using regularly before the age of 16. Prior to age 16, the brain is especially neurodevelopmentally vulnerable, not just to cannabis, but to other drugs. The brain is really under construction, or if you're in the cannabis world, half-baked.
Never did weed in high school, ever. Not until I went to the Lord's University did that go down.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, I know. My roommates were growing it in our basement. Go figure.
Research has consistently shown that early substance abuse, including the use of cannabis, is associated with poorer cognitive performance, specifically tasks controlled by the most frontal part of the brain, the part right behind your sexy eyebrows.
What?
What? Huh? That's also part of the brain that controls our impulses, a major factor in appropriate behavior choices. Mm. So, basically, don't smoke weed, kids.
I'm just going to, someone's in on this, the Better You Today text line, and I'm with them. People just suck at driving, even though it's super easy. I think there's more to that.
That's true.
Than anything else.
But what they found that these guys were even worse.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Yeah. It is kind of terrifying when you think about, like, if someone our age is going to die or younger, that's more than likely what it's from. That's the number one cause of death for young people is that. And yet we take it for granted. We're just out there, like, milling around, like, no big deal.
Let's talk home burials.
Oh, like backyard style?
It's a thing.
I thought that's illegal.
No, sir.
So I can just bury, I can be buried in my yard?
448 on the fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, one more story on in the news today. And then we'll get to the hot five. Josh Donaldson just has just signed with a new team. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, he'll be an ass there too.
So, a woman, I read this on coin.com, and it's a rather long story, but her name is Kelia Carver, and her son Max died. He was 4.5 years old, and he died in an accident in February of 2018. She basically leaves her home. They live on some property. The kids are playing. She leaves them with a babysitter, whatever. So they're normal, everyday life. She leaves, comes home. The kid drowned in the pond in the back. And she is, like, floored, stunned. Four-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Like, now, hopefully none of you have to go through this. But did you know that she can take the boy's body? Like, the whole... I think we all kind of feel pigeonholed into funeral or burial.
Yeah, like mortuary services.
Yeah, into all these services that you, in Oregon at least, I don't know about Washington, but in Oregon, you actually don't have to pay for that.
Really?
And you don't have to do that. So this woman, her name is Kelia Carver, she lost her son, and she remembers going to the, you know, the funeral home, and you speak with all those people, and it's always so awkward, and it's just so raw.
Yeah.
And you sit there, and she was like, she doesn't like to cry in public, so she felt like she was bottling up her emotions. And then she felt like she was being forced to utilize their services. And she was like, my son is 4.5 years old. I am not, and he just, you know, like, this is all new.
Yeah.
And she's like, I am not leaving him with these people. I cannot. She just had this sense of, like, I'm not walking out that door.
Sure.
And so she needed more time to grieve, and she wanted to be with the boy. And so she ended up finding out that in Oregon, you can actually take the body for yourself.
I had no idea.
Yes, it's a law. And so I'm going to give you the website. It's called OregonFuneral.org. And I forget, I think what she did was she just went home and Googled. She's like, this can't be right. She goes, I don't want to pay these funeral directors are weird. I don't want to do this. I want to do it my own way. And she ended up Googling and found that in Oregon, there is a law that allows you funeral and burial rights to your loved ones.
And you can just...
And she took the body home, and they buried the boy next to their grandmother out in their by their property.
I I had no
idea. Mind blown, huh?
There's got to be some kind of regulation. You can't just like bury it in the backyard, can you?
Well,
there has to be like if you've got property or.
Okay, so.
I know you like bury pets, but like. I can bury like your spouse or your dad or mom.
She said she found a book called Undertaken with Love on Amazon. She ordered it, and it had all kinds of relevant phone numbers and websites, including one for the National Home Funeral Alliance. And she ended up getting in touch with she reached out to everybody that was in Oregon in that book. And this woman by the name of Holly Pruitt got back to her, and she said she was just about to embark on a project because people in Oregon don't know their rights regarding funerals and burials. Helia had an innate sense that being kept from caring for her son after his death was wrong. I could see that with her determination, she and Max could make a big difference for many other families. She and Kelia began working on a website called Oregon Funeral Resource and Education, which is oregonfuneral.org, to inform Oregonians of their rights and connect them with resources. You can be the caregiver. Yes, you do not have to pay.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And so, yeah, just wanted to tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, I
hopefully
know
you don't have to go through that. But.
I know there's some new, like, there's one where like they have like mushroom suits now, where instead of like a casket, it's a it's like a biodegradable suit, and then that you become yeah, it like grows mushrooms in part of the earth.
They have biodegradable caskets too, which you can do. But a lot of people are a lot of people are choosing different routes now.
I had no idea. Unfortunately for us, like we use the same mortuary. It was really sad. Like it'd be morbid, but it was one of those like sometimes when you're in the middle of tragedy, you have like these weird, like laughable moments where it breaks it up. But you know, in the span of like 2 or 3 years, we lost in my family. We lost my dad, and then my brother's wife Heather. She lost her mom, her sister, and then I lost my wife. All in this very short period of time. And I remember. We use the same mortuary, Cascadia Mortuary Services, over in Vancouver, and they couldn't be any nicer. And I remember walking in, and my sister-in-law, Heather, was helping me because I was such a wreck. And I remember going in, and I remember the funeral guy, the funeral director, hugging Heather and knowing her by name. And I thought to him, and I said it out loud. I'm like, God, you know you've done stepped in it one too many times when the funeral guy knows your family by name.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
No, no. And I said, hey, I appreciate you, but God, I hope I don't see you ever, ever again.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, I remember going, we went through this last year, late in 18, and I was so put off by the whole process because they started selling my wife and I on our own plots, and we're grieving and stuff. It's just like, it's just weird. Yeah. The whole thing, it's like, it just rubbed me the wrong way.
That's why it was nice to have someone there kind of taking care of some of that stuff. But I'm here to tell you, the guy that we dealt with was fantastic, and it was you know,
there's an art to
I'm sure there is, because I mean, think about that. You are dealing with someone that's literally going through the worst thing of their life, and that's you every day, but he couldn't have been any nicer.
So let me read you the last little bit of this. It said, most requests to make arrangements without a funeral home or to transport a body come from specific cultural or religious groups who normally have their own liaisons within the Department of Vital Records and handle the necessary paperwork and disposition of the body, right? So that makes sense. But you can do this on your own. Families who are expecting a death because of a long illness that obtain a home burial packet is only available through the Oregon Health Authority's Vital Records Office. So you can, that's all you got to do.
Huh.
You got to go through the state, and then each county sets its own regulations for home burials. So it depends on where you are
and
where you can bury. But it's all right there with the state. Yeah. Who knew that?
Not me, man.
Who knew that?
No idea.
Crazy. All right, that's in the news for January 14th. Let's get to the Hot 5 at 5 next on The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.